Good morning, Emmanuel. Good morning. Two children presented their mother with a house plant, and they brought it in, and they had gotten it from the local florist. And the mother was so elated getting this bouquet of flowers and this plant. And the elder of the two girls said, "Oh, Mom, we could have done better. There was another one that was so much larger, so much prettier, but it cost so much we couldn't afford it. But it had a wonderful ribbon around it that said, 'Rest in peace.'" Well, we're here to talk about God's amazing promises, and today, peace before you rest in peace. And what we need to know about it is that it is something that it comes into our heart in a certain way. One therapist was saying to a woman that was being counseled, "You know, you'll find perfect inner peace if you complete everything that you've started to do." And the lady said, "Well, wow, that's not hard. Before I came here, I ate two bags of chip and a whole chocolate cake. I'm good. I'm here. I'm on a sugar high." Well, I think God can do it a little bit better than that, can't you? I mean, think about it. From Romans chapter 5, we now read these words. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that our suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us." You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? And not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Wonderful passage. Wonderful passage telling us that we have this peace in our heart that comes to us. And it's an active thing. It isn't something that's passive, where I become a doormat, where I become Ed Kruger on Valium, but rather it's something that comes to me in the midst of anything bad that happens in my life. I'm kind of reminded of the guy who went to the doctor to get the results of some tests that were taken. And he went into the doctor's office, and he said, "Well, how did it go?" And the doctor says, "Well, I'm sorry to tell you, I have some bad news and worse news to tell you." And the man says, "Bad news and worse news? Yes, which do you want first? Why don't you tell me the bad news first?" "Well, the bad news is you only have 24 hours to live." The man went ballistic. He was beating his head against the wall. He was pulling out his hair. He was running around in circles. 24 hours to live. 24 hours to live. Well, what could be worse than that? What could be worse than that? What's the baddest? What's the worst news? And the doctor says, "Well, I'm remiss in not having told you this yesterday." Not much peace for that guy, huh? There's some things in our life that just don't create much peace. There's some things in our lives that make us want to bang our heads against the wall. And Jesus himself felt that way sometimes in life, didn't he? I mean, you remember the time when he went to the money changers in the temple? And what did he do? In righteous indignation, he just threw them out. You remember the time he was looking at Jerusalem? And he wept because he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, you don't know that the salvation has come to you." And he's just crying over the fact that in a few years, 70 AD, Jerusalem would be no more. And God wept for this earth and said, my wrath that's coming upon this earth for this sin that has come to bear upon this planet, I've got to do something about it. And so in his love and his amazing love, he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, into this world in order to curb that wrath and to zero in that wrath on his only son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. There are some things for which we Christians ought to be pretty upset right now. I can't imagine one of you not being upset over the way our nation is going. The plight of the unborn, the sanctity of marriage between man and woman, the ever-increasing issue of homelessness, where nobody seems to have an idea of what to do about it. And today we're seeing an increasing number of violent deaths, and every night on television, another murder in Fresno. More than ever, in our own land, in cities, in chaos, and more people acting out their worldview that's devoid of saving faith than ever before. And now, if that doesn't bother you, I kind of wonder what planet you're on. And that's why when we talk about God's amazing gift of peace, we have to understand something quantitatively different than that. And Isaiah 54 puts it this way. I think he hits it on the head. He says, listen, the mountains may disappear and the hills may come to an end. But the Lord says, my love will never disappear, and that my promise of peace will never come to an end. Because when we talk about God's peace, we're not talking about a nirvana state of quiet and solitude that we're away from everything. God's peace is not absence from. God's peace is presence toward, being drawn into the presence of God, being drawn into the root, being grafted into the vine, where God is in the midst of the storm, no matter what. And so I leave you with three things. Didn't put them in the bulletin because we wanted to give LWML their room, and rightly so. So maybe you'll have to take notes today. 3 points. Number one, you can't have the peace of God until you make peace with God. This is a biggie. You can't have the peace of God until you've made peace with God. Romans 5:1 says it. It says, now that we have been put right with God through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is clear. You can't have peace with God until you've made peace with God. Because there is a sin wall that has separated God from us. And that wall needs to be torn down because there's going to be any kind of real peace, lasting peace. Peace that passes all understanding. So Lord, tear down that wall. And when your heart is undergoing all kinds of physical stress, the day may come when you need a pacemaker. But whenever you're having undue spiritual stress, the day has come when you need a peacemaker. And it doesn't work to try for us to be our own peacemaker. It doesn't work simply to double down in attempting to make peace with God. God is not impressed when we say, oh, Lord, I'm going to try harder. I'm going to read more of the Bible. I'm going to memorize more scriptures. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to go to church more. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to read the Bible incessantly. It doesn't work. You can't get peace because the peace of God doesn't originate with us. It comes from God who makes peace within me. It's God who takes the first step and the second step and every step. Listen to what it says in Colossians 1:20. God made peace through the blood of Christ's death on the cross. God made peace through the blood of Christ's death on the cross. This Jesus who died on the cross, and it becomes a death to pay the penalty for the wrong things that I've ever done. Jesus in his love tells us, I'll pay the price. I'll remove the penalty. I'll obliterate the obstruction and separation. I'll tear down the wall. And he says, I want to give you that peace. Then it comes in the forgiveness of all your sins. Jesus says, but I've got to be the one who gives it to you. So you can't have peace before you have peace with God. Here's the second point. Receive this peace as a gift. Listen to what Jesus says in John 14. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace that I give, it isn't fragile like the peace of the world's gifts, so that you should not be troubled or afraid. So what he gives us, this peace that passes all understanding, is not like a jar of water that spills over. It is a rock. It is a boulder. It is a mountain upon which we stand when all the earth is quaking and all the floods are raging and all the people are in tumult around us. He says to us, don't be troubled or afraid. You see, the peace that he gives us is not dependent on our circumstances. Some of us say, well, if my circumstances were different, I would have more peace and less stress right now. We may think that the battle we're facing is our finances. We may think that the battle we're facing right now is our family unit. We may think the battle we're facing is our marriage. We may think the battle we're facing right now is in our relationships, but Jesus tells us, no, it's on the inside. I want to give you a gift of peace that originates on the inside. He says, don't let your heart be troubled or afraid. And so we ask God to take, to calm our worry and take away our fear. I'm reminded in the Gospels of the story of when the disciples and Jesus went from mission to mission, and they would oftentimes go across the lake by boat. It was the fastest way to go. And one time when they're on the boat in the middle of the lake of the Sea of Galilee, a sudden storm arose, and Jesus was asleep at the end of the boat. And these were seasoned fishermen, and yet they were petrified. The storm was so severe, the waves were so large, the wind was so strong that they feared that they would die then and there in the middle of the lake. And they didn't know what to do except to wake up Jesus. And in Mark chapter 4, 39, it tells us this. They say, Jesus, you've got to do something. And Jesus stood up. And he commanded the wind, and he said to the waves, quiet, be still. And the wind stopped, and it became completely calm. Every time worries assault us and fears threaten to overwhelm us, just call on Jesus to do something, and he will. He'll stand up in the midst of any storm that's going on in your life right now, and he will say, peace, be calm. And even though the storms rage around you, and even though in this world it's tumultuous as can be, there'll be a stillness and a calm in your heart. I know for a fact that there are storms going on in some of your lives right now. Not just one, but it's like the deep south where it's hurricane after hurricane. They can't get a break. And you think, oh no, here comes another storm. Here's another one. And I'm here to tell you from my own personal experience and from the promise of God that God will bring to bear peace. Even in the midst of what you seem to think right now is the worst possible storm that can be happening in your life. The worst upheaval that you could ever face in your life. He has the power to do that. As a Christian, why just weather the storm when God has given us his power to calm the storm that's going on in our hearts. Now, I don't know what every storm is that's going on in each of our hearts today. Maybe you're facing a storm in relationships with your family. It may be a pending divorce. It may be one of your kids is really struggling. Maybe you have the feeling that you're not loved by your family anymore. They never bother to call you or contact you. There's a storm in your heart right now. It's a storm of disappointment. It's a storm of hurt. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus can calm that storm. It's not that the hurt goes away all the time, but he can come right into the middle of that hurt. He can stand right up in the middle of that hurt and say, "Peace, be still," and calm the storm that's going on in your heart. It may be that the storm that you're facing right now is a storm of grief, and you've loved someone that's very close to you, and it may have been years ago, but you still remember on a certain day that one you loved so much, and now you have that sorrow and that grief. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus can calm that storm. And it's not that the grief is no longer there. He enters it in the midst of the grief. He's right there. He can give you a peace even as you're grieving a loss. It might be that you're facing a failure of some kind in your life. You've tried everything and nothing works. Your business isn't working. Your career move isn't working. You're in the middle of your life and everything. What are you looking forward to? And right now there's this storm going on, a storm of self-reprisal, and you want to just start kicking yourself for the bad choices you've begun to make, and you may be even learning to hate yourself, and you're saying bad things about yourself every day, and you're putting yourself down, and it's spilling over in your relationships with other people. Jesus can calm that storm. You say, "Jesus, come into my life right now. Would you calm this storm that's in my heart?" It may be the storm that you've been cheated upon, that you've been treated unjustly, and you're so angry you could spit nails. And the bitterness is so vile, it's like bile in the back of your throat. And Jesus says, "I'm right here with you. Where you are, I will calm the storm. Receive this gift that no matter how high the waves are and no matter how tumultuous the winds may blow, I'll be your ark and you'll be safe in my arms. I'm willing to give you that gift," Jesus says. "I want to calm the storms of your life and give you peace." And that leads me to point number three, that we tell God what we need. Tell God what we need. Because when it comes to enjoying God's peace in our lives, God gives us a prescription. Like if you have something going wrong with you physically, you go to the doctor gives you a prescription. And you take the prescription and you get the medicine. And then you take the medicine. You don't just put the medicine on your kitchen table and meditate on the medicine. You take it. Tell God what you need. Philippians 7, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 is your prescription for today. In order to gain God's amazing promise of peace, this is what we need to know and memorize. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Well, I don't know about you, but I tend to worry about everything and pray about nothing. And sometimes I get that mixed up. I need to pray about everything and worry about nothing. And I need to begin by telling God what I need. And you'd think that would be obvious, but in prayer life, it always isn't. Because a lot of times our prayer life is fairly structured. And we start out by thanking God for everything. And then we ask him for what we want. And healing and this and that. And then we say, amen, in Jesus' name. And we fail to give him our felt needs and to ask him to bring peace in the area of those things that are causing anxiety in our life. Colossians 3:15 sums it up this way. Let the peace that Christ gives control your thinking. But I like it even better how the Amplified Version translates it. It says, and let the peace which comes from Christ act as an umpire continually in your hearts. Did you know it's game 7 for the Dodgers today? It's too bad it's not the Giants. But you know, when you're playing baseball, you've got to have an umpire. And the umpire determines if something's a strike or a ball based on his idea of what is the strike zone. You may have a little square on your TV as to what the ideal strike zone is, but you'll soon notice the umpires pay little attention to that. And oftentimes life throws me a curveball. And I start yelling out, it's not fair, that's not fair what's happening, and I get all worked up. Let God be your umpire, and you will never strike out. God will produce a peace in you that passes all understanding, and he will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Father, I want that peace. I want your peace even in the midst of what I'm facing right now. Even in the midst of what I might be facing this next year. Thank you that you have made peace with me by showing your love on the cross. And I receive your gift of peace right now. I focus my thoughts on Jesus. Heavenly Father, you're in control. We trust that you will prevail in the end. Give us the sense of presence in the midst of whatever we're facing in our own lives. And having said that, Lord, as we look around, we know our country's in disarray. Elections are underway at a time when our society, in some areas, is shut down. Worldwide, the pandemic has hit a new wave of heartache, suffering, and death. And we're all so tired of this. Lord, we have nowhere to go but to you. Give us hope. And be the great physician in all of this as we learn new ways to minister and to be your servants. Bless those among us who are suffering and in pain, all of our homebound, all of those who are sequestered in their homes right now and being forced to watch this online. Those who have become marginalized through this time and we don't have a clue where they are with all these people. And in that spirit, and with that hope, and with that peace that passes all understanding, we come to you together as your body in Christ, grafted onto the true vine, the true root of our life, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.